Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
About that graduated income tax amendment. So let's talk with Eric, if you'll put him up now, Austin Berg and Eric Zorn. Eric Zorn's a columnist with the Chicago Tribune, and Austin Berg is with the Illinois Policy Institute. Both of them regularly participate in our Mincing Rascals podcast. They're frequently heard as guests here. Austin, how are you, my friend?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. And Eric, you're good, I trust?
Well, I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
Guys, I got a thing, and somebody said, you know, if we're going to go ahead and sort of mess with the Constitution in Illinois, have this amendment, how about we do other things with it as well? Like, I don't know, address the pension problem that we have in Illinois. Eric, you wrote last Sunday about the process itself. So if this thing passes, this election, is the Constitution automatically changed, or does it have to go to the House and the Senate in Illinois?
No, the process begins in Illinois. We don't have, except for very, very limited purposes, there is not anything like a citizens' initiative referendum like you see in places like California. When you amend the Constitution, for most things, it has to start in the General Assembly, and it has to pass both houses of the General Assembly with a 3/5 majority. And after it passes, which this did, the graduated income tax amendment passed the General Assembly last year, then it's put to the voters, and then you get into the...
So that's where we are now, yeah.
That's where we are now. So any attempt, if you wanted to, say, remove the pension guarantee clause from the Constitution, or if we wanted to change the way other things are done, we would pretty much have to go through that same process. It would have to be approved by the General Assembly first.
I see that. And Austin, you know, when Eric wrote about and said that, I thought, well, then maybe if you're on the bubble on this thing, maybe that's a little litmus for you. Both houses of the state assembly have said that they think that we should amend the Constitution this way. I mean, should I take that into account when I go into the booth?
I don't think so. It was a party line vote, and the problem with the Illinois House especially is kind of one person runs the show. So Pritzker had to convince Madigan this was a good idea, and then it got passed. So, I mean, to the extent that that's worth something to people in terms of the trustworthiness.
Maybe that's a reason to vote against it. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
but, okay, so at least that part of it, and then it goes into place. And does it require a simple majority if one more person votes for it, Austin, then is it changed?
So Eric had a great column explaining this, but there's kind of two ways it could pass. One is take everyone voting in the election, everyone who casts a ballot in Illinois. If 50% plus one of those people vote in favor, then it passes. The other threshold is if you just look at the number of people voting on the question is the first thing you see on your ballot. Mm-hmm. If 60% plus one of those people vote for it, then it passes.
Oh.
Those are the two ways it can go into it.
It's either or. If you want to defeat the amendment, you have to defeat both possibilities. But either way, Austin just described, it can win. And Austin actually inspired me to write this column because of something he said during the debate that we had on the Mincing Rascals about this very topic. So it's difficult but not impossible to amend the Constitution, which I think is appropriate when you have a Constitution, not to make it just like a regular old vote. But what you have with like the idea of like say we talk about let's get rid of the pension clause, which would make it easier to change the pension formula, make it arguably easier to save money on pensions. You have to get 3/5 of both chambers to agree to that idea. Now, my view on some of these things is that they are important enough public policy matters that as a legislator I might vote to put it to the people, whereas it might not be something that I would necessarily approve of. Now, I know that's not the way it actually works.
Yeah, I see your point.
But the good government person in me says, okay, like, maybe I think the pension clause is a good thing, but maybe I also think that it's something that the public ought to have a say in. That's not how it works, but that's how I would like it to work. I think there are some interesting public policy questions that probably should, given their urgency, be part of the democratic process.
But guys, this thing is piecemeal, right? Like if you say, okay, we're going to amend the Constitution and change the graduated income tax, then it's not all things are considered. It's that one thing, right? It's not a Pandora's box. It's piecemeal, right?
Right. Every 20 years, is that right, Austin? There's a mandatory vote on whether we have a constitutional convention, and that came up. Gosh, I want to say 6 or 7 years ago. Do you remember when that was? It was a while back.
2008 was the last time we voted.
2008. Okay, so it was 12 years ago, and it was rejected. People don't want to open up the whole Constitution for just the Pandora's box reason that you talked about. That, yeah, a constitutional convention. Of course, the last time we had one was back in 1970.
Because people are worried that, all right, if we go ahead and give them this thing on the graduated income tax, then guess what? They're going to go after pensions. But that would not. That's just not the case. And yet, I just want to share with you a text message, guys. It says, hey, John, I'm retired. Now you change my long-term financial plan. I'm not against pension reform, but the Illinois Municipal League elected officials did agree to my fire pension changes. And now the jealous out there want to pull the rug out from underneath me. I picked my profession with retirement in mind back in 1981. This is from a person who presumably is going to enjoy a pension with a 3% increase every year. Austin, what do you say to that guy?
Well, we have a retired Chicago firefighter on our lawsuit challenging this ballot language on the progressive tax because we think it does open the door to a retirement tax. And to this person, I would say our solution to the pension crisis in Illinois doesn't require slashing benefits for the benefits that people earned. And we have an amendment that's been filed in the General Assembly. We call it the Hold Harmless Amendment. Protects every single dollar that has been earned by Illinois pensioners. They would not see a dime reduced. Someone is getting a pension check now, they would not see it reduced whatsoever. But what it would allow for are very modest changes that would ensure that retirees actually have a retirement. These systems, especially in Chicago, if you're a Chicago firefighter, I talk to firefighters who say they tell younger workers, pretend like there's no pension at all. Save like we're not getting any of it, because that's how badly underfunded it is. What our solution would do would allow for things like, you know, tying instead of automatic raises, tying those to inflation. For younger workers, increasing the retirement age modestly, as well as for Tier 2 workers, people who have been hired after 2011, it actually gives them a better retirement package because we think that one's so bad that it's unconstitutional. So I would say to this person, we can protect those benefits, but we need to take a balanced approach so that there are benefits available for everyone, that we protect taxpayers, and that we protect people who rely on the services that government pays for.
Austin, does that proposal have anything to do with changing the way health insurance is paid for? Because right now, retirees in Illinois get basically free health insurance. And so I know some of the proposals out there would make them pay half of those costs. Is that part of what your proposal has in it?
That's completely separate. So, yeah, healthcare is another huge source of debt for Illinois, but that stuff's negotiated typically in contracts. So, like, when the state has a contract with AFSCME, they'll negotiate healthcare. So that's different than a law that would be passed on pensions.
I got a minute left, guys, a little less than that, but I just wanted people to, A, check out Eric's column Sunday in the Tribune and know about Austin's website, which is the Illinois Policy Institute.com. How do folks find out more about you guys, Austin?
Illinoispolicy.org.
I was talking to a smart person yesterday, and he said, I'm thinking about how I'm going to vote on that graduated income tax amendment. It's fair versus trust, and I don't know how to vote. Isn't that interesting? After all of this, people are still not certain how they're going to vote on that.
I've written about this issue a number of times, and the vast majority of letters that I get from Tribune readers talk about this trust issue a lot. Like, they think the basic idea of the graduated income tax is fine with them, but they don't trust the politicians. And, you know, I've lived here 40 years. I can't blame them for not trusting the politicians.
Right.
I understand that.
And you're an advocate for the Fair Tax Amendment.
I am an advocate for the Fair Tax Amendment, but that's a whole long discussion. But you can tell people how to find that discussion that Austin and I and you had on the Mincing Rascals podcast. We talked about it for almost an hour. So.
Yeah, that's the Mincing Rascals podcast, wherever you get podcasts. A fuller discussion about that is there. IllinoisPolicy.org, ChicagoTribune.com/Zorn. Thank you, guys.
Talk to you, John.
Thanks. See you tomorrow.
Hear your voices, you bet. Yeah, we'll drop another pod tomorrow.